That you are yet on the throne. Thank you that you prayed for us and that you have given us the authority to pray for ourselves and pray for others as well. Bless this thy servant as I speak your word. Thank you for the fruit that your word will produce. Bless us now as we go forth. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Usher, you may take your seat. I think that where God has placed this thy servant, that I think that he have to love me because of my shortcomings. And I say that about me. I can say that about me. I can't say that about anyone else. And I'm glad you asked. I heard you. My shortcomings are that I am not perfect. Even in my best, Isaiah say I'm as filthy rags. That's why Jesus is my role model. He's my hero. He is the one that I look up to. And I say that because of the message that I'm going to bring to you today. It's found in the passage of scripture that we read in your hearing. Just one word subject, ascension. The going away of Jesus Christ. Looking according to Webster in the Webster College Dictionary, it says, ascension is a word that's used that's basically applied to Jesus the Christ. Say it is only used about him when after the resurrection, after 40 days after the resurrection. He ascended into glory. And as I was reading and preparing for this message, it says that someone said that most Christians do not even recognize or may not even know that there is such a thing as Ascension Day. Happened 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. And I got my calendar out this week and I counted 40 days from the day of the resurrection. I know some of you have already figured it out, know exactly when it was. But I had to go to the calendar and count me 40 days. It was the 40 days would have been on May the 29th. This past Thursday was the day of Ascension. If Jesus would have risen on the Sunday that we say he did this year, 40 days. Says, I think it's India or Brazil or somewhere, they have a special feast that they do the feast just to celebrate the ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. God fixes you. And I kind of been beating myself up this week because I had I knew about the ascension. I knew he ascended, but the 40 days of just celebrating his leaving here. You do know that if you don't ever leave this place where you are now, you won't get a chance to come back. In order to come back, you got to leave. And Christ had to leave here so he could come back. Ascension. Jesus Christ ascended to the right hand of God. And the right hand is considered a position of power. The ascension assures us that God is and that he is alive. The ascension assures us that Christ is God's only begotten Son. The ascension assures us that heaven is real. There's a book and a movie out about that now. Heaven is real. Not just because that book is out, but because it's there. The ascension assures us that the gospel is true. The ascension assures us that the Great Commission is to call for all believers to be on a missionary trip. I know you thought you had to go to Africa or somewhere to be a missionary, but you can be one right where you are. The ascension assures us that power is available for us to carry out this great commission that he left us here to do. The ascension assures us that we have in heaven right now a very special helper. I remember little kids in school always wanted to be the teacher's helper. We have a helper in heaven. I know you know who it is, but I'm going to remind you anyway. It's Jesus the Christ. Point number one. The disciples came together. I'd like to think of it as he sent out a clarion call. All of my believers, we need to assemble ourselves together. In verse 6, is where this comes from. Some theologians and some educators want to rebuke the apostles for asking the question that they proposed to him in verse 6. But I can't find reason to do that, because I do believe if I would have been there, I would have wanted to know. They ask a question about, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Because, see, they were just like you and I, just like we are. They're down here. They heaven bound, but they still got a lot of earth in them. And they were under bondage, and they wanted to get out from under bondage. And they were recognizing him as king of Israel when they asked him this question. You are king. Are you going to restore it back to us now? Are we going to be on top now? Are we going to be in charge now? I believe that the answer the Lord gives them in the case that they made no mistake. Their question was a legitimate question, a natural question, and one that the Lord answered as much as he could. He did not rebuke them. He did not call the question foolish. You know, sometimes we say there is only one bad question. The one that you do not ask if you want to know something. If you don't ask it, then it's foolish. But if you ask, the apostles were brought up in school in the Old Testament, they had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And the Messiah had arrived, had been crucified, and had was resurrected. And now he has assembled them all together. I know you Bible scholars, you read, where he had appeared to them at several different times, but all of them never seemed to have been together. When the call went out this time, there seemed to have been an urgency in when he said he wants us to meet him. And everybody just had a tendency to show up because they had a personal invitation. See, sometimes, I don't have any secrets, so I can't say I'm giving away my secrets, Mom. But now, I just thought about something. Where is she? Here she is right here. In the Women's Day program, they did a skit. And in her part, she was not coming to Sunday school or something. But since then, she's coming. She's coming because it was a skit and she saw herself. Why are you saying that about her? If it was you, I'd be doing you like this too. Letting you know that there are some things in all of our lives that we need to get. Doesn't mean she wasn't saved. No. I hear bothering with these young people every Monday night, and her and Sister Lyndon, and going and picking them up, taking them back home, and teaching them to sing, and having to put up with them, doing everything. But she saw herself. I'll get Sister Pat next. Where they were, they knew that the Messiah was coming, but they had been schooled in the Old Testament that when he come, he would set up the kingdom. And they wanted it, wanted it to be there. If I would have been there, I would have too. They knew that the Messiah is the one who will establish the kingdom on earth. This is apparently a difficult decision and a difficult occasion. Christ had planned this time out so he could tell them what he had to tell them and to show them something and to teach us a lesson here today. And I hope you grab this. Christ had planned this. I don't know how long. The Bible doesn't tell us. But he always told them, I'm going back to my Father. I'm going back. And everything he taught in this word is true. And I believe that with everything I have to believe with. He left here. He's coming back. I heard you. Because he said he would. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You know, sometimes when we get high up, there's some things we won't do. We'll send somebody else to do them. Christ's not going to send Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or none of them back to get me. The Bible says that he said, I will come again. And I believe that. He's coming back. He gathered his disciples together to tell them that I'm leaving now. But I will be back. I'm leaving. And you got something to do. You need to listen to what else I'm going to say. Don't worry about what I'm going to set up. Worry about what I'm going to tell you. We do that sometimes. We worry about what somebody tell everybody else and don't even think about what they're telling me. You better get selfish and think about yourself. Every one of us need to look at this word of God as if he's not talking to anybody but me. I was looking at something this morning in the Old Testament, and it was talking about the book of Ruth, and they call it a love story. That's what this whole book is. It's a book. It's if you want to read a love book, read this one. No, don't read it. Study this one. Because a lot of us read it, but we don't study it. Study this love book here, right here. And it will show, it shows so much love. It's love in this, because when if he would not have loved them, he wouldn't have gathered them all together to tell them that just because you don't see me, it doesn't mean I don't love you. I'm going away, but I will be back. Point number two. He promised them a kingdom. You'll see that in verse 6 and 7. He had gathered over 500 disciples, and they stood on some remote spot, probably at the top of a mountain. They surrounded Christ. One of the disciples asked that revealing question. Was he going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Was that the reason that he called all of us here together? The reason for his stressing the importance of the meeting? The revealing thing is that the disciples were still thinking in terms of earthly and a physical Messiah, a physical kingdom of material, because that's where we are a lot of the time. And they were thinking about reigning themselves and that their nation would prosper. What was Christ? Are you going to set up the kingdom on earth today? Is this why you got us together? You remember the two brothers that said, will you put one of us on the right and the other one on the left? They still was in that same mentality. Brothers and sisters, and I stop by to tell you, if you're in the physical realm thinking about God, you need to move on up just a little bit higher, a little bit farther, closer toward God, because it's not a physical thing. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We're talking about the ascension. He had to leave them so he could come back to them. Christ also promised the apostles that they would sit upon throne judging the people of Israel. You can find that in Matthew chapter 19, verses 27 through 30. But the concern of the believers should not be a reward, not be a carnal craving for position and influence, money and possession, recognition and prestige. Are you going to tell everybody how good I did what I did? If this is what you're looking for, it says you have your reward. Now, do things to the glory of God. I was talking to Brother Rudolph one time who plays the steel drum, and I said, Brother Rudolph, I said, if you're playing for me, you can quit now. Because I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. If you're singing for me, quit now. If you're praying for me, quit now. Just to satisfy me. No, you need to be doing just the same reason I'm doing what I'm doing. If nobody shows up here next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. Because I promised God I would be here. We need to do what we do because of the glory of God. Don't be worried about what you're going to get out of it. I know. You're saying we're bagged. I don't want to go to hell. No, just do what you do because you love God and he'll take you there. I'm used to doing it all the time now. I don't love my wife because she baked pound cakes. The pound cake comes with the deal. Yeah. Uh-huh. Or when she let me eat some biscuits and she cooked me some biscuits. Especially them cat heads where she take and put them in the pan and mash it down with her fist. I didn't marry her because of that. That comes with the deal. And she didn't marry me for me to stand up here and talk about her like this. That comes with it. So just because you love God and you serve him, going to heaven comes with the package. Don't worry about what you're going to get. Just love him and serve him. Deacon Jones, you'll have to help me out on that. We need to come to Christ because of our love for him. And because he ascended, he has to come back. If he would have stayed, he wouldn't have to come back. But since he left, he got to come back. Because he promised me, I go away, but I will come again. They wanted to know when he was going to do it. Set it up. Believers do not get caught up in the date setting or the time setting or trying to know when he's going to come back. Amen. Just be ye also ready, for you know not the day nor the hour that the Son of Man. Live every day like it's your last day. Do the very best that you know how to do according to the word of God. And God will. When you get it right and it gets your time, hey, you out of here. When your house get finished, you out of here. Mine get finished, I'm out of here. My room's not ready yet. Because I'm still here. When it gets ready, hey, I'm out of here. Point number 3. Jesus made an assignment. He assigned the believers a great task. The task of the Great Commission. To go ye also into all the world. He gave the believers equipping power. The equipping power was to be the Holy Ghost. The disciples had asked about the kingdom, the positions of leadership and authority that Christ had promised. They were to receive power, but not power on this earth, nor the power of position, fame, wealth, and other stuff that's earthly. They were not to receive that, but their power was to be a spiritual and a supernatural power. It was to be the very power of God himself, the supreme being, and being of the unusual power of his presence. We were going to have the power of the presence of God. He tells us this, that he says that it is not for you to know the time or the days or season which the Father has put in his own power. But if you serve him, when you are serving him, he will give you his power. He will come to you and live and tabernacle in you. Then you can do what he would have for you to do. But if you are waiting on him to let you know when he's going to do what he's going to do, you won't ever know. It will happen and you won't even know when it happened because we are too busy watching and trying to figure stuff out. God's very own Spirit was to dwell within the heart and lives of believers. There is no greater power that could ever be possessed by anyone than possessing the power of God living on the inside of you. Because then you will only do the things that God would have you to do. You might not understand why or how you're doing what you're doing. But because you are following in the word of God, you will succeed not to you, but to God. Because if I had to determine whether I'm getting across to you right now, I would say I could fold up my Bible and go to the house because most of you looking at me with your lips pooched out and... It doesn't matter, but I remember one thing when Sister Bay said this, and I have watched it and observed it. When you're in your seat and you're just looking at me, you're not writing or you're not anything else, I got you. Because you might, we are funny people, are peculiar people. Sometimes when you step on my foot, I don't want you to know you're on my foot. So it hurt, but I won't holler. I've been there. So you're not going to discourage me. I'm not going to hurry up and get through. I'm going to go through all 7 pages that I have. And I'm not saying that for you to act like you liking it. I'd rather you look like you look down and try to fool me.
All right.
He gives us a task. The task is found in the last 3 verses of the book of Matthew's. He said, "Go ye into all the world." He made every one of us that believe him a missionary. And some of us don't like to be missionaries. We like to be stationaries. We want to get one place and stay. Don't ever want to move. And by move, I don't mean physically move. I mean spiritually move. You need to tell somebody about this God that you serve. This God that you think is going to come back and get you. Yeah. You need to tell somebody. Why do they need to believe? You need to tell them. And I keep saying this, y'all. There's somebody that's not in the kingdom of God now because some believers have not told them. And if you think that when you tell them, they're going to jump up and say, yes, 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 I agree, you're wrong. All you need to do is remember yourself. When somebody tried to tell you, you just looked at them and said, yeah, yeah. But later on in life, you found that it was there. When we have the power of God on the inside, he does some miraculous things through us. We don't understand why or how, but he does them. Why do you love that person that seemed to do everything that they do is against you, but you love them anyhow? I can tell you why. Because Christ did the same thing to you. While you were a sinner, he died for you. Wasn't too many of us, if any of us, saved when he died for us? We were sinners, and he died for us. You were the enemy of God, and Christ loved you enough to die for you. The power of God to live on the inside of me is a miraculous thing. When you take the one that created you, and he comes and tabernacles and lives on the inside of you, he can do some wonderful things. But you have to let him live inside of you. If you don't let him live inside of you, the devil is already there. If you let him, then the devil can't tabernacle there. But the devil will come because you are made of the earth. And this is he is the prince of the air. This is his territory. But when we allow Christ to come and live within us, he can help us to do some amazing things. The believer's task is a great task of witnessing for God. Now is not the time for believers to shut themselves up inside of the church building. It's time for you to get outside of the walls and tell people about this God that we serve. Now is not the time for believers to be reveling in the love and the fellowship that we have one for another. We can do that when we get to heaven. It's time for witnessing, for sharing the glorious salvation of Jesus the Christ, the ascended one. The method that he left for us to do it. He said in Jerusalem, where he is or where she is, his home in his local community, in Judea, other communities or other areas or other cities or state, in Samaria, other states or other province, and to the uttermost parts of the world. If you don't witness in your own church, you need to witness here where you are. You need to witness, and I'm glad you asked. You can witness without talking. You can witness with your life. And when you witness, you are showing people or telling people how to live for God. If you cannot or don't do it at home, how are you going to do it somewhere else? It's hard to do it at home. That's why y'all's family may be different from mine, but it's hard to witness to family folks. Because they know every crook and cranny you ever been in. They know. And these people you see at Macedonia, they know some things about you that they're not going to tell you. And when you come up to try to witness to them, they might act like they're listening, but let it all hang out. You have got to be able to do it at the house. You got to witness to the people that know you. You have to. If you can witness to the people that know you, you can witness to anyone else. Because the other people in the other places and other provinces and states don't know you as well as these people here. But you got to witness to the people that you see and that you know. On your job. They need to know that you are a believer. We want to go to the uttermost parts of the world to witness when we have not done it at the house. You need to learn. You need to try it on people that you know and that know you. When the choir go sing someplace else, those people, to me, they just join in and seem to enjoy more than y'all do. And I know why. Because you think you know all these people up here. If you were up here singing, we think the same thing about you. But he did not ask us to be judges of other people. That's why you need to believe what people say unless you know for a fact that they are lying to you. And how would you know I'm lying? You watch me. Yeah. You don't have to be with me 24/7 to know that I'm lying. But you will know. And especially if you're in this word, you have a discerning spirit. You will know when the liar's talking. You'll know. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, but he didn't tell the rest of them. Some of these lies you telling people, they know. They just don't want to tell you. Or they might want to tell you, but it might not be time for them to tell you. Okay, I'm getting back. Point number four. Jesus ascended before the disciples' very eyes. While they standing there looking at him, he ascended. Immediately after speaking the words, one of the most dramatic events began to happen. Jesus began to slowly arise from the earth, ascending upward in the sky above. Shocked and spellbound to me is putting it mildly. They were beholding one of the most dramatic events ever experienced. The ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the return of God's Son into heaven, out of the physical realm into the spiritual realm. Imagine if you can, get your mind, try to fix your mind around 500 people surrounding him, and he's standing there in the midst of them, and he gradually begins to ascend. Don't try to think about what anybody else would have done or said. What would you have done if you were a believer? That should have put a confidence within you that whatever he has said before is true. He said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. He's coming back because I saw him leave. I was standing right there. God can do some miraculous things if we put ourselves in position so he can use us. This is what those disciples did, that 500. They put themselves in position so God could use them after Christ ascended. Somebody got to carry on because he said, I must leave. If I don't leave, the Comforter cannot come. And the Comforter needed to come simply because of all of us. The Comforter had to come so he could draw us to him. If he would not have left, the Comforter could not have come, because Christ had to go back and do whatever, sprinkle his blood and sit there and be in my behalf. I'm glad. I'm happy glad that he ascended back into glory. Because if he would not have ascended back into glory, there would be nobody there in my behalf. He's there now in my behalf and in your behalf. When you call on him, he can tell God, that's one of mine. That's one that's washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's one of the believers that's believing your word, that's walking down there on earth, that believes you. He knows your word. She knows your word. She's living your word. So therefore, they belong to you. They are in the fold. And we need to understand that if he would not have ascended, we wouldn't have anyone there in our behalf. He is the ascended Lord. He is the ascended mediator between God and man. He is the ascended advocate of man before God. The Holy Spirit is God's advocate on earth with man. Jesus Christ is man's advocate in heaven with God. We needed a Savior. We needed somebody in heaven that knew what we had been through. He walked this dusty earth just like you did. But he did not sin. So therefore, he can tell God about the things that you're going through. He knows the persecution that you are facing. He knows the ridicule. He knows, because it happened to him. He is the ascended Son of God, the one who came out of heaven to save a wretch like me. He is my Lord and my Savior. He ascended so he could come back to get me. I keep saying this, if he would not have ascended, he couldn't come back. So he had to ascend so he could come back. He had to go back and tell the Father, show him what we did to him. He knew it anyway. But this is what will happen to you when you live down here and serve him and do what he would have you to do. This is the glory that you have. Listen, listen, listen. If you think this body that you have now is something else, just wait. Just wait until you get the one that's glorified. His glorified body, I remember one name, a cloud, a cumulus cloud. Isn't that a cloud? That's the only name I could think of. It descended and he just stepped on it. And just start. And I said, they got, when people do pictures of angels, they picture them with wings. Jesus, the Bible doesn't say he had wings. He just said he ascended. And when something ascends, it just goes. And it said he went up into heaven out of their sight. Ain't God good? They didn't see him when he ascended to, when he descended into Mary's womb. But they saw him when he ascended back into glory. And guess what? They're going to see him again. Or we're going to see him again. Because it said every eye will see him when he busts the cloud. When he come back. When he come back. He's coming back and he's coming back after me. The rest of you could already be gone, but he's coming back. Because I'm still here, he's going to come back. So we need to understand that he ascended so he could come back. Christ dramatized his leaving so it would make an effect on you and me and the disciples. He could have just left without anybody knowing it. But he wanted people to know that he had ascended. That's why he gathered them together. You find no other time when he gathered all of them together. But this time, there was a reason why he gathered them together, because he was leaving them physically, and he was not going to be there. So therefore, we need to understand that God does things so it can get our attention. You need to have your mind focused on God and not on anything else. So if your mind's focused on him and him ascending, you will be okay. You need to know that he's coming. He ascended, so he's going to come back. If he would not have ascended, he couldn't have come back. I know I keep saying that, but that's important. He's coming back. You don't need to think that this is all there is to it. There's something else to it. He's coming back. And you need to live like now, like you want him to come back. Don't want him to delay, because the longer he delays, the worse it's going to get. And in my conclusion, they used two words there that I want to put in your spirit. And that is, same Jesus. Same Jesus. Same Jesus. This same Jesus, as you see going, he's going to return. Won't be no difference. This same Jesus is going to return. Just like you see him going away, he's going to come again. This same Jesus is going to return. He will not return and be different than what he was when he was here before. He's going to return and he's going to be the same. He's going to be the Son of God when he returned. He's going to just have his glorified body. He had that when he left, and he's going to have it when he comes back. This same Jesus is the one who will come back. Will not be a different Jesus. Won't be a gain, new and improved. He'll be the same.
He won't change. He will be the same Jesus, the same Jesus, the same Lord and Savior, the same one who came to earth to save men in the beginning. This same Jesus will come back. This same Jesus will come back in an attitude still loving and caring for all who believe. He's going to come back, and he's going to come back at all who believe. This same Jesus, when he come back, who promised to return and receive believers unto himself, he's going to return because he promised. This same Jesus, the one that said, I will go to the cross for man. I will die for man. This same Jesus is the one that will come back to receive us into the kingdom. When he comes back, he'll give all believers the same type body that he has. He'll give you a glorified body. So because you have believed in him, all those that receive the Son of God receive everything that God has. I told you in the beginning, God dwelt, put his spirit in you when you receive his Son. He gives it to you because he wants to tabernacle with you. He wants to make a difference in your lifestyle. This same Jesus ain't going to be a different one. Won't be new and improved. He'll be the same. And he's coming back with all the love and compassion that he has. But those that do not believe him, no. You can fool the preacher, but you can't fool God. God sees the very heart, and the preacher can fool the people. But your heart is what he's coming at. It's your lifestyle that makes a difference. The ascension, brothers and sisters, is so important. We do not need to forget the ascension in our celebration of the crucifixion and the resurrection. We need to remember the ascension, and I keep saying it, because if he would not have left, he couldn't come back. If he would have stayed down here, but he didn't stay, he left so he can come back. We need to understand the ascension is the important factor in the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If the ascension would not have happened, then the rest of it would have been for naught. Then you can take and say, if the resurrection wouldn't have happened, if the death wouldn't have happened. But the ascension is the last thing that he did on earth that earth could see physically in a body. They saw him leave. And it wasn't a spirit that left, because he had eaten fish and bread with them. So therefore he was a real body, and he ascended into glory. Because if he would not have ascended into glory, who would we have there in our behalf? Nobody that knows the trouble I've been through. He knew. Because he's at the right hand of the Father. He's at the position of power. Who was that? Stephen? Said when they were stoning him, said he looked up into heaven and the cloud opened up and he saw Christ standing, waiting on him to come. The Spirit goes back to the one that gave it. And Christ gave the Spirit of life to us. We need to recognize and accept and understand the ascension of Jesus Christ. I know we don't have a holiday for the ascension like we do Easter. But the ascension is real important in the believer's life. With that, I'll extend an invitation. Will you stand? And if you don't know Christ, this is your time. If you have not met the resurrected Savior of the world, this is your time to become a